and Elder Enterprise Ventures.
All right. So it's me again, and plus my coworker Bruce. And now we have two non-native English speakers, so which makes things even math. Okay, so we are working on the open source middleware stack testing and documentation job in HP, which basically means OpenLDAP and MySQL, JBoss, and Apache related work. So agenda here, I will first introduce some directory services in large enterprises, the challenges and progress OpenLDAP made. And then Bruce will introduce some technical implementations of the some of the enterprise features. So I will take a HP example back to 2003. At that time, HP itself has more than 1,500 applications using the directory services, and have about 50 million plus operations per day access to the directory services. And every HP.com email address is resolved by the directory server. And every HP intranet login was resolved by the directory server as well. So the hardware was deployed in worldwide about 30 servers. The software was someone directory server. So that's the situation. Here is the data information tree at that time. So basically, the directory contains people information and groups, including news group, email group, and security group, their description, members, owners, such kind of information. And the IT servers, their certificates are also stored in the directory server. The HP real estate informations, for example, the address, the time zone, are stored in the directory. Organization informations and partner informations as well. So you can say it's a large enterprise directory we used internally. So what are the challenges? Number one is the cost. So the software we were using as a per entry pricing model, which means if you have one more employee or one more server, that will add more cost. And HP has more than 150 kilo employees worldwide. So that's a lot of money. And another reason is we hope to avoid vendors lock-in and hope to have some technical enhancement or requirement to the directory services. But so we investigated some vendors, but the answer we have is that they don't hope to modify their existing products to meet our requirements, but to sell us more products. So why OpenLDAP was considered the solution? So Cymers is a OpenLDAP reseller or service provider, and they provide per server or even per enterprise licensing model, which is much more reasonable. And given we have the source code, we have the freedom to modify the source and to meet our technical requirements. And since we have good partnership with Cymers, and we are also selling the open source middleware stack services, HPIT has the resource and the capability to support the OpenRDAP. And someone may ask, why don't you enhance the applications rather than enhancing the LDAP? So HPIT's point of view is that we hope to make the software more standard and not lots of proprietary web services supported and written by HPIT, which is not good. So, and we have more than 1,000 applications. So modifying a lot of applications was not a choice. And so we decided to just enhance the OpenLDAP. So at that time, OpenLDAP has also have some challenges. For example, it didn't support BucketDB, and we internally hope to have some audit log functionality to see who did what to the directory service. And at that time, OpenLDAP does not support it. And we hope to have the reconfiguration on the fly functionality and a reliable replication strategy as well. So at that time, they didn't exist. And password policy, that means we hope to have some restrictions. For example, the password should be over 6 characters and contain non-directory words and so forth. So an HP employee and an employee from Cymers wrote an overlay to implement this function. Another challenge is data constraint. That's similar to the password policy. For example, the telephone number should also follow some rules. And HP employee implemented an overlay to make it functional. Translucency means to store some department, for example, department specific attributes in a local directory. At the same time, with the larger enterprise directory running non-locally, maybe running on worldwide in some other locations, but to the departments may have some specific requirements to extend the attributes to store, for example, some project information, something like that. So translucency is a mechanism to let directories could be subleted worldwide and form a logical directory with the data file in different physical locations. And group policy. So you know, we have groups of employees, groups of assets, a lot of groups, but the LDAP model does not really implement these kind of notions. So Cymers wrote a overlay. Can someone repeat the question?
I cannot.
Yes, right. They are already in the current OpenLDAP directory server. So I also mentioned this in the current status slide. So now HP has completed migrating the enterprise directory to OpenLDAP in 2006, and thus unchained from the per-entry licensing model. And the requirement, enterprise requirements are met, and the related source code are committed upstream to the OpenLDAP community. So then I'll give the time to Bruce, my coworker, to introduce some technical side.
Hello. Just as Tommy mentioned, we are using some important features of OpenIDAP in HP Enterprise Directory. In OpenIDAP, these features are implemented through overlays. So in the following slides, I'll talk about the basic concept of overlay and how to use them and how they work. At last, I'll give two examples to show how to use these overlays. Firstly, I would like to show the OpenIDAP working model. As you all know, OpenIDAP includes three tiers. The first one is the client. A client may be some OpenIDAP command lines or some applications which set up OpenIDAP requests. The next one is the front end. In OpenIDAP, front end is the CelebD daemon, which provides the IDAP service for those clients. The last part is the back end. In OpenIDAP, the back end serves as the storage engine for the front end. I think the most commonly used backend is BDB. It can also be DBM or HDB. When OpenIDAP starts work, firstly, CelebD front end will receive IDAP requests from client. And after its processing, it will pass the request to the backend. When the backend starts to return the result, it will call some functions of frontend to pass the result to the client. So this is the general working steps for OpenIDAP. Now let's look at what overlays are. Basically, overlays are modules working between frontend and backend. They are introduced since OpenIDAP 2.2. It can change the behavior of backends without changing backend code. Because each overlay contains some function to handle certain OpenIDAP operations, for example, OpenIDAP add or OpenIDAP modify. In this way, it can process incoming requests before backends and process outgoing results before frontend. Here how they work. Firstly, the front end passes the results, the requests to the first overlay, and after the overlay finishes its process, its processing, it will pass the request to the next overlay until the request reaches the real backend. So when the backend starts to return the results, it will direct the results to the first overlay until these results are processed by all overlays. At last, the results are returned to the client. So in this diagram, we can see overlays are organized in a list, essentially in the OpenIDAP code. But actually, their behavior is like a stack. So the topmost overlay will process the data firstly, and then the data will fall to the following overlays. Users and third party can create their own overlays to extend OpenIDAP features and functionalities. Creating an overlay is quite easy, because each overlay is represented by an object in OpenIDAP. And what we need to do is just to create this object and to implement some handling functions. Here's a very simple code template to implement overlay. Firstly, we create an overlay object. The next function in its module is the entry point for the overlay module. In this function, we specify the name of the overlay, and we specify several handling functions for certain open app operations. For example, we want to implement HelloAdd as a function to process add operation. At last, we need to register our overlay in this function to call overlay register function. So this is the very general template to implement the overlay. In the following time, I would like to show two examples of using overlay. First one is the password policy, and the next one is the constraint. The password policy is a very common one. It can provide the password control mechanisms like password aging, password reuse, and mandatory password resets, and so on. Users can define different or multiple password policies by using PW password object class. And then we can apply different password policies to different entries. There are the following common directives we can use in slapd.conf file. The first one is the mode route. In this directive, we specify the name of the module. And then we specify the name of the overlay. The next one is the password default directive. It specifies the default policy we would like to use if the entry is not specified any password policy. In this example, we will create two different password policies and to apply them on the different entries. The first step we need to do is to load and configure the overlay in slapd.conf. Here's the lines we need to add to the slapd.conf. First line, we specify the name of module and the name of the overlay. In this line, we specify the default password policy we would like to use. This password policy is also needed to be created in our next step. In this step, we will add two different policies. Here's the definition file. The first line is the default password policy. We also specify it in our previous step. In this policy, we mainly specify two restrictions. The first one is the minimum length of the password. It is 5 characters. The next one is the maximum age of the password. It is 2 million, about 2 million seconds. The next is the a little more stronger password policy. The length is 8, and the age is 15 days. And then we set the password policy sub-entry attribute this entry. Here's the definition of the entry, and in this entry, we use the PW password sub-entry, which is an operational attribute. So we don't need to add an additional object. We can use it directly for any entry. Next step, we can verify whether the overlay works. If we run other password to change the password of this entry to a word less than 8 characters, we may get the following error message if everything is configured properly. Password fails quality checking policy. But here is a note. The bind DNA used to run this IDAP password command cannot be the root DNA, because the root DNA is the super user. It can always change the password to any word. That means the root DNA is not restricted by this overlay. Next one is the constraint. This overlay is contributed fully by HP, and it allows users to constrain the values of attributes by character set or regular expression. And it can only be triggered by adapt or add or modify operations. It has only one directive, that is constraint attribute. It has the three parameters. There are two values for constraint parameter, and it is character set or regular ex. Here's an example to constrain employee number as 6 digits and seeing as valid letters. Firstly, we load and configure the overlay. And we add two lines to restrict the attributes. The first one is employee number, the next one is the. Then we can verify it. First, we can run rdf modify to change the employee number to a number with 5 digits, just like as the file shows. Then, if we will get the following error messages. If you want to have more information about overlay, you can visit OpenRDF admin guide. The link is shown in the slides. And there are also some tests in Linux menu page. And I think the best way is to check OpenRDF source code if you want to have more investigation on it. That's it. Any questions? Okay. Not yet. Currently, we didn't use RDAP 2.2. I think we are using 2.3.38, I think. We haven't met any problems about on backend. Do you mean how to use this schema, or?
Do you have to replicate your schema manually?
There is a way to store schema information in the provider's database, and
you mentioned at the end of Tommy's slide about the departure from the enterprise costing model of one extra entry costing more dollars. Has this changed the way you use the directive? By that, do I mean, were you limiting how many things you put in the directory because it would cost you money? You weren't putting everyone's desk phone in because it would cost money. Have you changed the way you use it?
In the current model or the previous model?
Well, under the previous model, did you find yourself not doing things you might have liked?
I'm not really know. It's the IP direction. So.
The previous model, they just spent a lot of money.
They spent the money, which is why they went to the Open LDAP. There was a big push to do that because they were just. They wanted the information, and so they spent the money to get it in there, and were charged for it, which is why they were able to say, if they said, hey, if we just pay this guy instead of paying this guy to actually go and work with the open source and just get this product up to spec, then it saves us money in the long run, which is why something like that was able to happen.
Have you, now that Fedora free, or Red Hat directory is available, do you have any kind of Can you offer us any advice which of the two we should use?
So I personally did a simple investigation. So Red Hat directory was based on Netscape, right? So at the time, HP decided to use OpenRDAP. Netscape was trying to sell the directory. So at that time, they don't have chance to compare, you know. But now you need to compare yourself. I haven't done several investigation yet.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, and I'm sure we learned a bit about OpenLDAP there.
Thank you.
That was very